I always look at what are our must-have mission critical items that need to happen. What are the things that could set us up for the greatest amount of failure? And as I go back to this crazy demand that we had, is with this demand, I mean, really, it was 4 or 5 years ago. We only had 4 or 5 employees. So we are in this somewhat of a startup mentality where we have to rethink just our basic fundamental operating processes and systems. And that is something that we are putting a lot of time and resource and money and individuals in, where I go back is we want to make sure that people have a great user experience. We want to make sure that we are providing the best software. We want to make sure that their process is a little different. And when I say user experience, I'm getting down to the actual, if I'm becoming a member, I'm going through the entire, you know, phases of that. And where are some areas where there might be bottlenecking? Where are some frustrations? Where are some areas where we're not adapting to the technology needs that are come with it?
I'm Eric Fulweiler, and this is Scratch, bringing you marketing lessons from the leading brands and brains rewriting the rulebook from scratch for the world of today.
Hey, everyone. Special episode today. If you've been following us or me for a while, you know there are two brands at the tippy top of our wish list to get on Scratch. One is Crocs. So if anybody out there knows the CMO of Crocs, we're still working on an intro. But the second is Pickleball. And this has been a favorite and very passionate challenger brand of ours since the beginning, or at least I should say of mine. We have some debates internally, but one of my favorites, just seeing how quickly the sport has grown. Like, as you hear from Jose, it's been around for a while, but it just exploded over the last 3 to 5 years. And also, I think sports as a category is one where we don't think about disruption in challenger brands as much, or in the same way that we do with CPG or tech or retail. But it's happening. You know, attention is shifting. New brands, new sports are coming into the world of sports. And old one and incumbent ones are being challenged. And pickleball is a great example of that. So a really interesting conversation with Jose, CMO and chief strategy officer as well of USA Pickleball. He comes from a lot of great experience in the sports and entertainment world. He was the CMO at Fiesta Bowl before coming to USA Pickleball. And he also spent some time in the NBA working for the Phoenix Suns. So we get into a bit of the history of pickleball. We also talk about the landscape today. There are some big names that are getting into pickleball as a sport, as owners, as players, celebrities, ex-professional athletes from other sports, etc. I loved hearing about kind of a day in the life of Jose and his team, and what how they're able to prioritize everything that's going on and just kind of keeping up with this tidal wave of demand and growth that is the sport, and some of the things that he's excited about coming up on the roadmap, as well as the growing demand for sponsors to come into the category and how he's approaching that. Really great conversation. I know you're going to enjoy it. I will let you get to it now. Please enjoy my conversation with Jose Moreno, Chief Marketing and Strategy Officer of USA Pickleball. Jose, thanks so much for joining us. How are things in Phoenix today?
Things are good. It's a sunny 75 degrees right now here in Arizona.
Sounds amazing. Well, look, I know I mentioned this to you when we got connected and when we had our prep call, but I'm pretty excited about this interview because pickleball, there's kind of like two favorite, almost like mascot brands of Rival, because, you know, our whole thing is challenger brands. And the ones that we in our community have really gotten behind over these first 2 years are Crocs. So we're still working on an intro to the Crocs CMO, just in case you know anybody. But pickleball has been there from the very beginning. I think how the sports world and category is being disrupted is just fascinating to us. And of course, there's no better example of a increasingly successful challenger brand in the sports world than pickleball. So thanks so much again for making the time, and I'm looking forward to getting into it. So before we talk about pickleball and everything that's going on in your world, the icebreaker that we ask every guest is, what's one challenger brand that you're super passionate about right now and why?
A challenger brand, I'd say one that I've always been really fond of and have followed for quite some time, and they're based out of Denver, is the North Face. And I think that they've just done a phenomenal job branding themselves as a true lifestyle clothing and equipment as well. And coming from the Colorado world, and you look at what they're doing on social media, it never seems like an advertisement. It seems like FOMO. Everything you watch, you just want to be there. And it could be a picture of somebody on the side of a mountain climbing or camping or just the outdoors. They really embody and embrace what their brand is, and they've done a phenomenal job going after that market.
So, such a good one. And I'd almost put them in the category of, you know, they're a successful challenger brand. Obviously, they started to disrupt that category, and now they're almost one of the incumbents, right? And we had an interview last week, I actually forget the specific brand that we were talking about, but kind of, it was kind of like a sports lifestyle athleisure brand and how they were disrupting Lululemon. And it's interesting because it's like, it's not that long for a challenger to become the new incumbent and then be vulnerable to a new challenger coming in. So I'm not as close to the North Face, you know, business or sector as maybe you are. But I think that's interesting because to me, from an outsider's perspective, I'm like, maybe there's an opportunity for like the next generation challenger, the North Face of 20 years later, to now come in. What do you think about that?
Yeah, absolutely.
Sweet. So let's get into pickleball. So can you give us an overview on Pickleball USA for those who may not know? And maybe within that, there's, of course, the sport of pickleball, and then there's the organization of Pickleball USA. So maybe we can touch on both of those.
Well, USA Pickleball, we're the governing body of the sport as a whole. And, you know, a lot of people think that pickleball has only been around for a couple of years as it became much more mainstream, and I'd say after COVID specifically, but it's actually been around since 1965. It was started out of Washington with just a couple of buddies playing in their driveway. And here we are. This sport's been around. People have been playing it, but we didn't become an actual governing body until 2020. And so this sport is one that, what I love about it is it's all inclusive for all. And, you know, there's no age barriers. There's no socioeconomic barriers. I think the biggest reason why you start to see people out there playing is it's one of the most inclusive sports that you can find. And so obviously that is contagious and people want to be a part of that. And during COVID is people wanted to get outdoors. They wanted to be active. They wanted to still have fun. And this is one of those sports that allows anybody from all athletic levels to be able to get out, enjoy, work up a sweat, but also be around people that's a true community. And, you know, as the governing body of this sport, our goal and mission is, how can we grow this? How can we make sure that people have access to this sport? And whether that be youth or adults, competitive or recreational, just the leisure players, we want to make sure that we're growing this sport and as much as we can across the entire country.
And do you view Pickleball USA, and of course your role as CMO, do you view yourself as kind of the guardian of the pickleball brand? Because of course, small organization with a massive reach and so many different pockets of teams and companies and leagues and sponsors and so many different people getting involved. But do you kind of view yourself as like, hey, the brand of pickleball overall is kind of my responsibility?
I do in a way. I mean, the beauty about this is there is so many other brands that are out there, but when I think about the sport itself, the sport, the play, what's on the court, that's absolutely us. We have to control that. I think what you're going to start to see here in the coming years is us. We are going to be a lot more outward facing as it relates to our brand, catering towards that younger audience, catering towards those up and comer players, catering towards that 99% casual recreational player. So we have to get more forward facing, and that's in everything that we do. That's from our just overall user experience to our marketing, our promotions of our events, our programs, and making sure that we are get much more sophisticated and much more aesthetically pleasing that people want to see. You know, I think what people don't realize is, as I said, you know, the sport's been around since 1965. We've only been a governing body for a handful of years. So, you know, when you look at most startups, a lot of oftentimes is you create a startup to hopefully create a little bit of that market share. You know, the demand you're growing with that, we're in a situation where that demand just grew so fast and we're playing somewhat of a catch up, but we're being very thoughtful in how we approach it. So yes, and you know, to answer your question is we do have that control of the overall pickleball sport and the brand. I think we're going to be leaning into our own personal brand as USA Pickleball here in the coming years a lot more heavily.
And do you, I know this isn't one of the questions that we talked about ahead of time, but I'd just be curious because while pickleball is a sport and what you're doing as USA Pickleball is, of course, different, you know, there have been many successes and failures of sports governing organizations before. And, you know, you spend time in the NBA, you spend time at the top levels of college football. You know, there's the MLS making moves in the US as well. Are there kind of pages from other sports or other industries playbooks that you're taking and applying to what you're doing with pickleball?
Very much. And I wouldn't say that it's one specific, but for us, as we've grown over these last couple of years, and really it's a whole new regime of leadership right now. Most of us have come from sports entertainment backgrounds. And so we've been able to see, you know, to your point, the failures and the successes on all different levels. And, you know, I go back, and this is what I tell my team constantly, is we can't be all things to everybody. You know, I think we want to be very thoughtful in all that we do. We want to have data-driven, we want to make data-driven decisions to be able to move forward, but we can't be all things to everybody. And as you can imagine, being the fastest growing sport in the country, we get people that reach out to us from all walks of life. We get brands that reach out to us from all walks of life. We get technology companies. And while, you know, I think there's value in some of that, we want to make sure that we are truly vetting it all out. So we just want to make sure that we don't want to get to this place where we're putting all of our eggs in one basket to grow with this, you know, 100 times X, whatever we want the formula to be. We want to make sure that we want to keep up with the demand, and we want to meet the needs of our pickleball community and make sure that we have a lot of data that's going to support our actions in the future.
So let's talk about that crazy growth, because it has been crazy. I mean, the last 3 to 5 to 7 years, I don't know where you want to draw the line or really what caused that inflection point, COVID, as you mentioned, being one part of it. But it is the fastest growing sport in America over the last 3 years. It is very much a social as well as a sports phenomenon. It's growing like a rocket ship. What are the biggest contributing factors to that?
I mean, as I said, I think one, it goes back to this is truly the most inclusive sport that's out there. You walk into any of the pickleball courts anywhere in the world, and it's a community that I've never seen. When you think about, you know, I'll use my examples. I played baseball, right? Played baseball, high school, college. And I also meet 8 other buddies that I can, you know, form into a diamond and create a team. Not many other sports can you go out and play by yourself with somebody else. You can have a wall that you're just, you know, dinking and practicing your shots. But when you step on those courts, it doesn't matter if you guys are a friend or a foe, you guys are still are having fun on the court, and people are so welcoming. They're so engaging. And I'm an outsider, right? I didn't join pickleball years ago. I came from different sports world. I played casually, recreationally, but it is the common denominator in what I've seen of anybody that's out there and what they speak on is the fact that when you step on those courts, it's so welcoming. It's so engaging. You can be your first time. It could be your 100th time. And people just want to truly be part of this community. So that is, I'd say, number one, it is the most welcoming and inclusive sport that you can find. But then I go back to number two is you can't discount the fact that COVID really helped amplify this. People wanted to get outdoors. And I know here in Arizona, a lot of people were golfing or they were playing pickleball because, you know, there's not many sports that you can get out there, and you would be able to socially distance and be safe. And people went out and had some fun. Celebrities started picking it up. And I think social media really helped us, because when you think about all the celebrities that got into this game and the athletes that got into this game, MLPs of the world that had these this team model where now you overnight had handfuls of people and that were owning teams, well, people saw that and people took notice of that on social media. So when you see, you know, Larry Fitzgeralds of the world and, you know, Trae Young and others that are owning these teams and they're promoting the sport, you know, social media has been a huge amplifier for us of the overall growth.
And it is interesting to that social phenomena point that you do have what seems to be such an over-index in celebrity owners, billionaire owners. You know, my old boss, Gary Vaynerchuk, was obviously early in on the sport, both from an ownership and a management perspective. And then you really do have a tier of professionals as well that I know is growing. So what do you think has contributed to that? I mean, I can speak a little bit for Gary. I know that sports management, eventually getting into the NFL and of course owning the Jets, that's always been his dream. So anytime he has an opportunity to kind of flex that muscle and get that experience, it's valuable to him. But some of the other folks you mentioned, what do you think is it that's drawing, you know, these very mainstream personalities to the sport?
Well, and you kind of alluded to it as to me, and I'm not an owner of a team, but part of it is it's probably a two-part play. Is there's that flex to say you own a team, whatever sport that could be. But then two, these individuals are playing themselves. So, you know, what better way than to own a piece of a pie of a sport that you truly appreciate, and you can, you honestly understand what these individuals are doing out there, and you get the sport you're playing in. And so it's kind of that two-part deal with it. You know, I, as a baseball player myself, I go back, it's like, man, I'd love to own a baseball team because I played it, right? But then also, everybody's dream is to own an NFL team, just because that's the biggest flex as it gets right there, is to say you own an NFL team. But when you take like a Larry Fitzgerald, who is an actual pickleball player and a good pickleball player, there's probably a lot more value that comes to that when you can say he owns that team and then he's out there playing himself.
It's fascinating. And I know for you, and from a USA Pickleball perspective, your focus, as we talked about in our prep call, is on that 99%, as you put it, the 30 million active players. Not as much, but of course, you're also supporting the pros and the celebrity owners and things like that. So can you talk to us about that strategy and what you're doing to kind of support and grow really the base of the sport right now?
Well, and for us, it's a lot of listening. And I'd say when you look at even my role coming in 6 months here, it's been a lot of listening. We did a lot of surveying to not just our members, but non-members, former members, and partners, and trying to just understand is what are their motivators? What are they wanting out of this? You know, we are a membership-based organization. So without our members, we wouldn't be able to do the things that we do. So, you know, for us, as we look at growing that, it was really, how can we just listen and understand what the overall needs are for them? And how can we grow them in areas that maybe we were not doing in the past? And then also, it's the fundamental and just basic things that you would need to be able to get the sport going and growing is, we need more courts. We need access for equipment for kids, especially in underserved communities. We need to be able to provide the right technologies for people to have an accurate rating, for them to even have a good solid base of a membership. So it's kind of looking at what we had started with, and then how do we 2.0 that here moving forward in the future, so that way that 99%, you know, those casual rec players can eventually become more of a competitive player. They can start to play in tournaments. And then we get into the tournament and event side of even our business, and how can we make sure that we're giving the best possible player experience that they've ever had.
It's interesting. One of the things that we see a lot with challenger brands is that they're for something, so kind of purpose-led, mission-driven, et cetera, but sometimes also against something, right? And those two things, of course, come together. But I guess with pickleball, a little bit what I've heard from you is like, hey, it's the most inclusive sport. We want to get this into kind of more communities overall, but also underserved communities. You really just need a court and a paddle, that type of thing. Is there kind of like a either proactive, purpose-led approach to pickleball that you see? And or how do you think about what I would call sharp elbows against other sports? Meaning, do you take any approach of like, well, you know, maybe there's some downsides to other sports, either in how you play it or who it's available to, or of course there's health concerns with certain other big sports in the US right now. Like, are there any kind of like, we're for this, but we're also against that, that you're trying to build into the positioning of the brand?
Yeah, and I'll ask Alan to your first question is, you're going to start to see, especially in this year alone, is, and this isn't just because the data tells us, this is something that, you know, it's certainly my belief and our leadership's belief is, I go back to this notion of community and making sure that people understand, you know, kind of the goodwill in what we do to support this sport beyond just, you know, as I said, providing a court and equipment for kids. But you're going to start to see us really leaning into that and shouting from the mountaintops on our, we'll call it cause marketing side of the business. And we want to make sure that all of our members know that, you know, they're paying an annual membership fee. And by having this annual membership fee, here's how you're serving this pickleball community, specifically, as I said, you know, in the underserved community, but also in the highly densely and populated communities where we need more courts. But you as a member are helping support that. What can we do for the overall, you know, communities that we're going into and putting events in? How can we serve them? And so this is something that we're putting a strong emphasis on. We've actually just built a community relations department, and it will be something that we're going to be launching here midway through the year. And so we're going to have a big focus on that You know, the prior world that I came on, we led with that in everything that we did. And we wanted people to understand that greater purpose behind their dollars in which they're investing. And then to answer your question on maybe the sharp elbows, you know, for us is I want to make sure that we are always staying true to who we are as an organization. And I keep using this word inclusive, fun, family, inviting. And we never want to derail from that. And if we get to this place where we start to, you know, say you can play, but only if you're XYZ, then that goes off chart of where, you know, what our mission is and what we stand for. So we want to make sure that there isn't going to be any barriers for people that are trying to get into this sport, trying to play this sport. And there are a lot of sports out there that, look, if you don't have a gym membership, you can't play. If you don't have, you know, the top of the line equipment, you won't be able to be successful. And we are fortunate that we represent a sport where I go back is it's a very cheap get in the door price. And, you know, I challenge anybody if they can't ever find an opportunity to get out and play, that's when they reach out to us and say, how can we help you? You know, if somebody that doesn't have a paddle, if there's a class that doesn't have a paddle, that's how we can try to identify ways that we can help you with the proper equipment that's needed so we can get you out there and playing.
So knowing how to prioritize, because obviously there's never enough time and money to do everything, and particularly in the current state of most markets for most marketers, it is a question of how do you do more than less, more with less, that is. And for your business, you know, as we've talked about, it's a rocket ship. As you said, you're trying to keep up with demand in many ways. So how do you think about prioritizing the limited time and resource that you have? I mean, I know USA Pickleball overall is only about 35 people. So obviously the marketing team is a small subsection of that. So how do you think about prioritization overall? And then what are those priorities for you from a marketing standpoint for USA Pickleball right now?
Yeah, I always look at what are our must-have mission-critical items that need to happen? What are the things that could set us up for the greatest amount of failure? And as I go back to this crazy demand that we had is with this demand, I mean, really, it was 4 or 5 years ago. We only had 4 or 5 employees. So we are in this somewhat of a startup mentality where we have to rethink just our basic fundamental operating processes and systems. And that is something that we are putting a lot of time and resource and money and individuals in, where I go back is we want to make sure that people have a great user experience. We want to make sure that we are providing the best software. We want to make sure that their process is a little different. And when I say user experience, I'm getting down to the actual, if I'm becoming a member, I'm going through the entire, you know, phases of that, and where are some areas where there might be bottlenecking, where are some frustrations, where are some areas where we're not adapting to the technology needs that have come with it. We just have to get to that 2.0 version, which we're doing in mid-year through the year. We're going to make some announcements here on just our overall technology. So, you know, I wish I can sit here and tell you that, hey, this is great. We're looking at the next 3 to 5 year and this is our growth strategy and here we go. We have to just get the basic fundamental systems in place for us. So that's going to be something that we are heavily focused on and what you're going to start to see, you know, midway through the year. And then it just goes back to beyond that, where do we go from there? And how can we make sure that we are serving our members and we're constantly listening to understand the overall needs as a whole?
Hey, everyone. Just wanted to take a quick break because we've actually heard from many of you that you want to get a better understanding of what it is that we actually do as a business. You know us through this podcast, all the content that we put out, the events that we put on, the community that we have, the media company side of what we're up to here at Rival. But actually the core business, just to kind of fill you all in, is we're a full service marketing agency at this point. Obviously, we specialize in challenger brands. And what that means is that we work with either startups to help them scale and get to the next level, or we work with a lot of incumbents like Reebok, Unilever, JP Morgan to help them innovate or launch something new within the marketing function. We typically work across 4 main areas of the marketing department: brand and product positioning, creative ideation and production, paid media planning and buying, and customer data and marketing technology. We're also building some tech of our own, as you would have seen with Curo and also Enodo. So that's it. Just wanted to fill you all in since you've asked for it. And if you're interested in hearing more about what we're up to, please get in touch. But with that, I'll let you get back to the show. So I'd be curious because I think, you know, everybody, I think for the most part, people listening are familiar with pickleball, maybe not as much with USA Pickleball. And maybe not as much with the concept of like an organizing body. And then within that, there's, well, what does marketing do for an organizing body? So I think, you know, what we've talked about probably helps to paint a broad picture, but I'd be curious, could you kind of like lift up the hood for a second and just talk to us about like, what is a day in the life or a week in the life of you and your team look like? Like, what do you have going on this week or on a typical week? I think that would be really interesting for our users or listeners to understand.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Happy to share that. Well, and one of the beautiful things about working in sports is no week is ever the same. And I would say that very much with pickleball, especially where we're at right now. And you look at, we're in January and we have our own tournaments that we put on that we operate starting in April. And what people don't realize is a lot of these tournaments that happen around you, there's a lot of resources that it takes to be able to get these things off the ground. Our tournaments, when you think about our golden ticket tournaments, these are the path to get to nationals. This is the singular way that if you qualify, you get a gold, you have your entry point to get into nationals. So, I keep saying this of what we did in the past and where we're going is we are constantly thinking through of how we can create the best experience and almost that Disney mentality of what are those touch points? What are maybe things we weren't thinking about in the past? So what are those continual touch points that we can have every step of the way for our participants? So you've got one side of the business, which is events and operations. And so we're on a weekly basis, planning, mapping, strategizing out what that's going to look like from, you know, some of these tournaments, we have upwards of 1,500 players. How can we make sure that they're having the best possible experience throughout, making sure that we have solidified the venues, the contracts, the vendors that come with that. Then you've got our social media and communications team. How can we make sure that we are giving out the best possible content for you as a pickleball community to understand what is happening behind the scenes? As I mentioned, we just made our announcement of Nationals on Friday. Right now, we have a whole content series around what we're going to do at Nationals. We're going to do a lot of these campaigns that will showcase this new venue that we're going to be in, the state-of-the-art facilities, some of the experiences on and off the court that you can expect. So we have our whole social and comms team that is creating those as we speak. And every week, you're going to start to see more and more of that, getting them amplified and juiced for our Nationals here in November. And then we have sponsorships and sales. You know, we can't operate without great partners and, you know, big partners like Fortune Tires and BioFreeze that really believe in this sport and want to make sure that their brands are elevated and on a united front with us. So how can we work with all of our national brands to make sure that they're fully integrated holistically in our organization and throughout our entire events? And then, as I mentioned, we've got community relations, which we're working with all of our national community outreach activities and initiatives that we're going to be launching here in the middle of the year to make sure that our members know and recognize and appreciate that their dollars are going to something to help support this sport and to make sure that it's giving back on many different levels. So, you know, and then we have a whole nother side of the business, and I'm just speaking specifically on the marketing, but we have the competition side of this. We had, you know, how can we make sure that all the players' ratings are working with our technology partners are up to date and good. We have a referee division. We have a whole equipment testing division. So, you know, this is as you think about distributors and manufacturers of paddles and equipment, in order for them to have that USA Pickleball certified stamp on there, it has to go through our team, which we have some of the most brilliant individuals that they go through. They do all the proper testing. And then that's what you see on the storefront shelves is that stamp on the paddles. We have a whole sanctioning division. We have a youth division, a programming division. So you got to, you know, one thing to remember, and this is something that it was kind of hard for me to wrap my head around too, having worked in the NBA world and in bowl game world and university world on Arizona, is being this national brand, this national organization that we serve so many. It's getting out of this mindset of this individualized state service mentality, and now it's everything is national. So when we make a move as it relates to maybe a, let's call it a youth programming, and there could be a change in what we do on the programming side, that impacts the entire country. When we make a rule change in the rule handbook, that impacts the entire country. So we're constantly having to play offense and not defense. And so, you know, if that's the best way that I can summarize what we do on a daily basis, is we're thinking through 6 months to a year in advance and how we ensure that what we do is impacting everybody in the right way, in the right thoughtful time that it takes to do it.
I'd be curious, because knowing a few pickleball players, like, they can be pretty passionate. And because even though the sport's been around for a long time, it hasn't really been mainstream or been structured or organized in the way that it is right now. You know, again, thinking about what we see from challenger brands, a lot of them are kind of in this constant state of innovation and evolution, listening to particularly their most engaged and most passionate users, or in your case, players, and kind of evolving their product and their offering as they go. You mentioned, I forget exactly what you said up front, but you mentioned that kind of like listening and being front lines with the players is really important to you. Is that part of it, like almost product innovation in a way, like listening to what people are suggesting about maybe how to evolve the rules or what they don't like with what you've done already? Like, is that part there as well in your role?
100%. And I will say, it's interesting because coming from the worlds, the sports teams where I was a part of before, it wasn't, the fans were not actively going out and playing it. They were coming it from the perspective of, I'm a fan. Where now you're talking about our fans are also the players. So one of the things that I appreciate the most and is they are vocal. They are going to speak their mind. There is a lot of pickleball forums that are out there, and I read them all the time. And, you know, some stuff is comical, some stuff, but there's a lot of stuff that's of value. And it gives us a good peek of what's on the horizon. What are people talking about? And if the consensus are of XYZ rule and there's a lot of chatter around that, good or bad, we have to take a listen. So I always appreciate about this sport is this isn't just fans that are watching. These are fans that are playing. They're living and breathing this every single day. And whether you're a recreational, whether you're a competitive player, if you took the time enough to be able to bring this up in a forum or reach out to us, that says something. So we want to make sure that we are listening. Now, people and players and in this community have to also understand is we can't just go and change a rule because somebody had a bad experience. It's we're going to be very thoughtful and we're going to do our research to understand where maybe a change needs to be made. But at the very least, we're always going to listen.
And there is the fan player difference. But there's also, again, thinking about what we see from challenger brands, you know, people feel like they're part of this. They feel like they're part of this brand and this rise in a way that, you know, for me as a fan of the NBA, I never could feel that association. You know, I feel like I'm just like a tiny drop in the ocean, whereas much like with other challenger brands who bring their most engaged users in early on, that kind of creates a different type of connection and certainly a different type of advocacy as well. So, you know, with everything, it sounds like there's a lot going on, maybe putting it mildly. With all those inputs and activities, what are some of the outputs and activations that are happening right now that are coming up that you're really excited about? Like, what's on the roadmap for USA Pickleball that you can point us to?
Really excited for what's to come with our Golden Ticket tournament system. We've revamped it. We've simplified it. We've made it a lot clearer for our pickleball community to understand how can I compete in nationals? It was pretty wonky before and it worked. It served a purpose, but now we've made it very clear. We've aligned ourselves and partnered with the APP and UTR, who will also be putting on tournaments that are Golden Ticket qualifiers. But what you can expect out of that is, as I go back, is we've listened a lot and we wanted to understand what was important to our players at these tournaments. And we've taken that feedback and we are going to over deliver. And that's what I'm excited for the most and our team is excited for is how can we make sure that the touch points are met, that people feel like they walked away and they're investing a lot of money to be able to come and play in these tournaments, that no matter if you win or lose, you can walk away and say, that was one of the best experiences that I've had. And experiences are come in different shapes and forms. It could be how you did on the court to off the court, to your parking experience, to your bathroom experience, to your gifting. We're going to make sure that we are going to provide the best possible touch points as we can. And I'm excited for that because it's something that, you know, this is that 2.0 iteration version of USA Pickleball. And I want to build a reputation for people want to come to us and play in our tournaments because it's just amazing. And not necessarily because, hey, if I won, you know, I get to go to nationals. That's a great piece of that, but I want them to come because, man, this is a great place where I can really be part of this community. And I feel like I walk out of there feeling like my dollars have been very well spent.
So Jose, I think the last thing I want to touch on is the sponsorship side of this. So you mentioned just now people are coming to you. I would imagine that's also the case with brands, given the rise of the sport. So can you tell us about how sponsorship fits into pickleball overall and then your role as CMO of USA Pickleball?
Yeah, and sponsorship is huge. It's a huge piece of our revenue that comes to the organization and allows us to do the things that we've talked about of growing this game. And I mentioned to you is we do get a lot of people now that are reaching out to us and organizations and brands that say, hey, how can we align ourselves with this pickleball community? So for us, the nice thing is we now have a full integrated sponsorship and activation team. And this isn't, we're saying yes to everybody. Candidly, we're saying more no's than we are yeses, because we want to make sure we're bringing in the right partners that have the same vision as us, that align themselves in the ways that it's beyond just stamping your logo on one of our events or on our website or some of our other assets. It's how can we find a partner that wants to be holistically involved? And I mentioned earlier, Biofreeze and Fortune Tires, I use those two as great examples. Is, man, that's the gold standard for us. I mean, you talk about, I'll take Fortune Tires, right? Is they are what we would call is, you know, you've got endemic and the non-endemic, right? These are the ones that these are pickleball specific brands, and then there's non-pickleball specific brands. Fortune Tires, when you think about it, is a tire is not necessarily something you would associate with pickleball, but all pickleball players are driving a car and they all have to have tires. And they had the foresight to say, well, you know what, let's get in on this early, but let's go all in. I mean, everything from the use of our IP into their commercials, to their activations, they're going all in on this sport with us. And what I love about it is we can have some real candid meetings and talk about, hey, what are the things that are working well? What are the things that we want to change and optimize? But they really see the value of, we want to get to the masses. And we want to make sure that we're, you know, as pickleball is for all, our tires are for all. And when you look at Fortune Tires, they're not maybe one of those top two brands that you associate when you think about going to get a tire, but they're that next level down. And we just met with them. And one of the best ways that they explain it to us is, you know, our tires are for your 16-year-old daughter that's maybe driving a 80,000-mile car. Is, you know, it's a very reliable tire that you would feel safe putting your child in, but it's not this, you know, it's not this big name that has, you know, hundreds of millions in marketing dollars, but they're very reliable and they want to make sure that they've got something for everybody. And we appreciate working with them because they go all in on all of our tournaments. They create some really cool activation. They integrate the IP, as I mentioned before, but a brand like that is somebody that you want where they can start to build that brand association, where we want them to go into a tire store and say, I want a Fortune tire because I played in a tournament and I recognize that you guys were out there and you're part of this pickleball community. So we're getting very strategic and we're just aligning ourselves with good brands that's not only going to amplify themselves, but it's going to help amplify us in the sport as a whole.
Including Skechers, who is on board as the official shoe partner now, right?
That's right. Yeah, Skechers has done a phenomenal job. And, you know, I'm almost 40 years old and somebody that, had, you know, Skechers was big when I was in high school. And then I feel like they really found their niche in this pickleball space. And they've been a great partner to us and really, really own that that shoe space, you know, as it relates to, you know, this pickleball world.
All right, Jose. So I would love to keep you for 2 minutes just to do a quick lightning round of questions. So like 1 to 2 sentence, rapid fire answers if you're up for it. So starting with, what is the first marketing job you ever had?
Well, I'm going to give you a very unorthodox answer here is marketing can be interpreted in many different ways. And often it's associated, it could be sales. And I look at marketing sometimes as very much, it's a promise of what's to come. And when I was 9-10 years old, I was, you know, I was raised by a single mom and I wanted to make sure that I can go and earn a little money. And I was always kind of a little hustler. I went door to door and was selling myself on why I could be the best dog walker in the neighborhood and was charging $2 to go in and walk their dog. So, you know, while that may not be an official job and a payroll, yeah, I think at a young age, I was marketing myself and I was giving a promise of what's to come. And I sold why I'd be the best dog walker. And I built a little clientele and I think I was making, I don't know, 10, 20 bucks a week. But It was 10, 20 bucks a week that I had to be able to go and use it on whatever I did at that age.
Hands-on experience, best way to learn. Second question, what is the best piece of career advice you've ever received?
Gosh, you know, I'd say two, and it came from two of my good mentors as I grew up. Is one, it was always you always hear that it's not what you know, it's who you know. But somebody once told me it's not what you know, it's not who you know, but who knows you. You know, who's willing to pick up your phone call? You know, it's easy for us to say that we all know somebody, but if they don't pick up your phone call, it doesn't do you any good. And then I'd say even now, you know, Mike Neely, our CEO of USA Pickleball, he always says this to all the staff and the team, and I had the fortunate pleasure of working with Mike at the Fiesta Bowl for 8 years, is one of the things he always talks about is doing the right thing and how integrity matters. And he would rather not do a deal, you know, if it meant sacrificing our integrity. So just always do the right things and the rest will follow.
What's the best brand campaign you've seen recently?
Oh my gosh, the best brand campaign. You know, I will say, and this is coming from, you know, the world that I came from in college sports, is the college football playoff has done a phenomenal job over the years of branding themselves. Coming from this BCS world, and I think it was very confusing for people, but having this semifinal, playoff, quarterfinal, they've done a good job of branding it and simplifying it for the football fan. And it's a change, and change is never easy, but they've done a good job of making sure that this is elevated in all walks of life, because it's not just during playoffs. I mean, you see it throughout every university around the country, no matter what conference you're in. You've got players that are endorsing it. You've got coaches. They've done a phenomenal job of making sure that people understand this new system and the promise of what's to come with it, with the expansion.
What's your pet peeve about the marketing industry?
I don't know. I think my pet peeve is this. Obviously, you've got a lot of people that have all the answers. And to me, is I'm never going to begin to think that I have all the answers. I'm going to surround myself with really brilliant and talented people to make sure that we can collaboratively come to whatever decisions in marketing that we go through. Oftentimes you see that there's one or two people that they shout from the mountaintops that they're absolute experts, and which is fine. I'm a more of that collaborative mentality. I think you're nowhere without a team.
Totally agree with that. What is one marketing tool that you cannot live without?
You know, I would say, and it sounds total cliche, but social media. And that is a marketing tool, and we wouldn't be where we are without social media. And you look at our hyper growth, and for us, this is a tool that we're able to provide our members, peek behind the curtains, content around this sport, but it makes them feel like they're part of this family, and we couldn't do that without social media.
What's one thing people should do differently after listening to this episode?
Get out there and play. If you haven't tried it and you haven't played, it's not this intimidating sport. It's very welcoming and engaging. And hopefully people can listen to this and say, man, this is actually something that I want to get involved in. My family should get involved in. And I don't say that because I work here. I really do mean it. I mean, you're talking to somebody that my kids play it, my wife plays it, and we're just recreational players because we truly enjoy it. And it does create this sense of community.
And finally, who is one other person that you think we should have on the show?
I would say, and this is coming from, it was born out of Arizona and now has morphed into other states, but there is a restaurant, and it's called Salad and Go, and they've done a phenomenal job of, you know, when you think about this fast food mentality, and I always thought this over the years is, gosh, where's that like healthy fast food that you can go and get? And they've done a really great job of creating this fast food, but for healthy food. It's salads. It's literally what it is, Salad and Goes. I think they're now in four or five states across the country, and they're growing like crazy. But they're one that I've always appreciated of what they're doing, you know, to bring health component of individuals and families in the food industry. And they have a CMO, and I can't remember her name for the life of me. I'd have to look it up. But if you look up Salad and Go, I mean, their founders were started here out of Arizona, and they would be ones that I would have certainly recommend getting on the show, and how they just disrupted this entire system.
All right, Jose, thank you so much for your time. We're going to leave it there, but I hope you have a great rest of your week, and I'm looking forward to my next pickleball match now.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, guys.
Cheers.
Scratch is a production of Rival. We are a marketing innovation consultancy that helps businesses develop strategies and capabilities to grow faster. If you want to learn more about us, check out wearerival.com. If you want to connect with me, email me at eric@wearerival.com or find me on LinkedIn. If you enjoyed today's show, please subscribe, share with anyone you think might enjoy it, and please do leave us a review. Thanks for listening and see you next week.